If regular Mountain Dew eats through a coffee cup, what would this Mountain Dew eat through? I'm surprised it doesn't eat through the can.
This Mountain Dew would eat through a cockroach.
That's good. You could put it in a spray bottle, and
mm-hmm.
as long as you didn't care about the damage it did to your walls.
Yes. This would start fires. So
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess. It's me, Jared, and Will.
Hello.
It is, what was it, June 9th?
June 9th.
June 9th. It's 5:40-ish p.m. Pacific time. Probably going to be a short one. We are streaming in the midst of personal chaos each.
Mm-hmm.
But things will settle. We'll be back more consistently. Let's do this. Let's start with this. I have a Flaming Hot Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I'm not really excited about it.
This could be the shortest pod ever because this could just kill you the second you take a sip.
It might. This would absolutely kill someone 100 years ago.
Yeah. Not right, a chance. Like
this would kill Bob Pettit.
I mean, Flaming Hot stuff kills people now. Just eats clean from your stomach.
I don't really go too much for Flamin' Hot stuff, except I did try some Flamin' Hot Ranch Doritos.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Who was, yeah, there we go. That's what I wanted to see.
Let's try it.
I was going to say, who was the rapper who was hospitalized for eating too many hot Cheetos? It was Lil Xan.
Oh, it was Lil Xan.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It literally did start to eat through his stomach, so prayers up.
I'm trying it.
Mm-hmm. We're doing the do, folks.
The Flamin' Hot hits late. I'll say that. It's like taking a cool minute.
For anyone who is listening to the recording and not able to see this live, Jared basically did the exact gif of that girl trying kombucha when he had his first sip.
But I felt much less interested. I can't say that I like this. At first sips just taste kind of like Mountain Dew.
Okay.
And then afterwards it tastes like I ate like Red Hots.
Hmm. Which isn't like a combination I've ever been dying to try.
No. I saw someone say that it's like if Mountain Dew hurt your throat. And that's, I feel that. That's real.
Has there ever been a good spicy drink? Like the first one I can think of is people like Bloody Marys, but that's more like soup, if we're being honest.
That is, yeah, that's a soup. So, you know, on the cans of, you know, like Mr. Pibb?
Mm-hmm.
On the cans, it says it's a spicy cherry cola.
It does say it's spicy cherry.
That's a lie. But it is good.
Yeah. They thought that sounded better than prune soda.
Do with a blast of heat and citrus.
The only other spicy drink I can really think of is a Pepsi that you've left out in the sun.
Yeah.
Hot Pepsi will have you your mouth and throat burn in, but I don't enjoy that. So it's kind
hot
of what
Pepsi,
I'm.
Thinking. Yeah, it. I can see why some people like it, but it's not like.
Compare it to an NBA player. Which player is the Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew of the league?
Who is like the?
You see why some people like it. Not for you. Weird combo.
Right. Oh, that's hard. Flamin' Hot Dew is the Chris Paul.
Okay, wow.
Of soda.
I was expecting because a much worse player.
They're the thing is with worse players, usually it's like people who like them only like them because they're on that on their team.
Okay, okay.
But like when you look at him differently, you're like, oh, he's just not that good, right? Like, okay. Like I could tell you this is like the Kent Bazemore of soda, but like really, what does that mean other than just saying like it was okay and then it just got worse.
It's best used as a prop.
Which, you know what? Actually, that is kind of how this is. It's okay, and then it gets worse.
Yeah.
But when I say Chris Paul, it's Mountain Dew, right? So it's got baller DNA.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Mountain Dew for us on this podcast. We like Mountain Dew. Pretty good.
We support Zach Levine's brand efforts.
We have, like, different flavors out there. Baja Blast, Code Red. It's all good.
Ginger was a big deal. The gingerbread was a big deal at Christmas.
That was pretty good. This is like, it's Mountain Dew, right? You're watching Chris Paul. He's really good at basketball. Some people fucking hate Chris Paul. Some people are just like pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And some people love him. This is the Mountain Dew for Phoenix fans.
There you go.
And that's
the Suns are flaming hot. It connects all the way around, full circle.
Yeah. You take a few sips, then you realize I don't really like Phoenix.
And after a couple of weeks, you're probably done with it.
After a couple of weeks, you realize that this flavor is not as good as some others.
Yeah. What does that make the Warriors? Because it's like Phoenix is like, okay, they flamed out of the playoffs. They burned out. You realize it wasn't for you. I feel like the Warriors are more like a Baja Blast.
Baja Blast, I like that because it's great, right? Mm-hmm. We all love Baja Blast. Sometimes we have too much, and we need a couple years without it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
We can draw the connection. We got Baja California.
Yeah. We got a... But sometimes, like, you know, like nothing hits like watching a prime Warriors game when everything is hidden for them. That passing is unmatched. That shooting is unmatched. Sometimes you just got to go to Taco Bell at 11 p.m. at night. Get yourself, I don't know, a Crunchwrap.
Yep.
A cheesy gordita crunch. But you got to get the Baja Blast and nothing is going to hit like that.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay, now that that's out of the way.
And the Celtics are a mud puddle.
No, that's out of the way. Let's talk about the big event last night.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Pierce left hanging. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did not see it. Fill me in.
Fair. It's in Boston. Paul Pierce is just, I don't know, sitting somewhere in the crowd.
Yeah.
Kind of lower. Celtics going off, make a big shot. Some guy turns around and it's just celebrating and he high fives one guy and Paul Pierce right behind him. And Paul Pierce is just chilling. Very, very chilling. Extremely chilling. It's his hand out. I'll take a high five from you too. And the guy doesn't see it and he turns back around. And someone else swoops in and saves the day. But this is right when the camera cuts to show Paul Pierce. So like everyone sees Paul Pierce left hanging.
And this is a rando. He's not like left hanging by like a player or a celebrity. He's left hanging by a random Boston fan.
Yes. And sitting behind him, I believe, was Jadakiss.
Okay.
Just an extra detail.
Yeah.
You get left hanging in front of another celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is this more embarrassing than pooping yourself mid game? I'm saying yes.
Depending on the, I'll need to watch the clip and see exactly when the camera cuts away to see how much
you get the whole thing.
But do you get to see the follow up how much of the follow-up where somebody saves him do you see?
Enough.
You get enough, okay.
So you see all that right. Someone saves him, but you still see, it's like a cool second or two of him just leaving his hand, like waiting for someone to save him.
I feel like it's worse because he stayed chill. Like, if he had been equally as hype as the guy, it makes it more understandable, but he's like, he hits you with like, oh, sure, like, yeah, you can do it. And the guy was like, yeah. I'm good, actually. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty bad. If the only way I think he could have recovered from this is to immediately fake an injury and have to be wheeled out of the arena.
Okay.
If he had like grabbed his arm, fallen over, and then a wheelchair had come and they'd wheeled him out, then I think it would have been okay. But he's already used that once and we weren't going to fall for it again, so he couldn't pull it off.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I do think also in reverse, that dude who didn't see it must hate himself now.
Yeah. Again, this is on national TV.
Like, yeah, he's like, I had a chance to tap up Paul Pierce. But also, like, maybe if you have seats so good that you're sitting in front of Paul Pierce, you don't care.
But also, everyone just saw me blow it. Everyone.
Yeah. That's so, blowing.
Okay, now who is this more embarrassing for? That fan or Paul Pierce?
It's more embarrassing for Paul Pierce, but the fan regrets it a lot more than Paul Pierce does. It's more embarrassing for Paul Pierce, but Paul Pierce will forget about it by today. And that fan is going to regret that for the rest of their life.
Okay. That's fair. And that's the pod. Thanks for so what I don't know, what else? Anything you got anything?
I'm just trying
Why am I drinking this? I don't
Jared cannot stop going back for more.
I'm thirsty.
It's like, it's like when you turn on one of those Suns games because it's the only thing that's on. In my opinion, the thing that would have really made this perfect, the perfect game three, is if Paul Pierce had later that night released a statement saying, like, stay classy, guy. There are fans out here who aren't even getting high fives from Boston fans.
And it has to be like, it has to be the iPhone Notes app.
Yes.
Screenshot, like that.
Yeah. I want him to, like, join in on the Celtics fan hate with the Warriors just because that guy didn't give him a high five.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the fan hate then.
Yeah.
As a Warriors fan, I think I don't even know why they're asking the Warriors, like, is this crowd affecting you? It just sounds like every other, like, it sounds like a playoff basketball game.
Yeah. As part of the thing, it's like, the one thing where, like I mentioned before, where I don't blame the Warriors entirely is, like, these are stupid questions to begin with. And if you, like, ask, like, if you, like, go up to a guy and are, like, on the Warriors staff, not even one of the players, and you're, like, have any Boston people been rude to you in the past couple days? And he goes, like, yeah. Then, like, it's your fault for, like, running that as a story. But yeah,
it's, man, your fault for asking.
Yeah, but these are some lame quotes. From the Warriors.
We should probably back up a little bit and just explain to our two listeners or whatever that if they don't know that apparently the Boston crowd is very gross.
Yes.
In terms of, like, where are they shouting "fuck Draymond Green"?
Yeah,
during the game, they were, but, like, the Warriors after the game are getting so many questions of, like, how much is this crowd affecting you? And then Clay and Steve Kerr are like, yeah, they're real classy.
There's never been a good use of someone using the word classy in sports. It's impossible to not be lame when you use that phrase.
Honestly, in general.
Yeah, it's just, it's not cool. The only acceptable use of it is if you were to drop a dope meme that said, like, boys have swag, men have class, with a picture of Neil Patrick Harris and "Hi, I'm Not Your Mother" on it. That'd be cool, but
okay.
Yeah, like, it's just the lamest thing you can pair about. And so we have that from the coach and the players. And then we have now articles interviewing anonymous, like, team staff members talking about, like, how, like, people have been rude to them as they, like, walked around Boston wearing Warriors gear. Which I, like, this is, like, they're being regular rude. I want to be clear.
Right, I was going to say, people from Boston do actual hate crimes more often than this.
If they were,
more
like,
often than they are rude to rival team, like, fans.
Yeah. Like, this is this is a whole different story if they're being, you know, racist towards people. But, like, I want to toss in a personal anecdote as a comparison. I was in Atlanta last year in September. This was the same year that earlier that year the Bucks had knocked the Hawks out of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference Finals. Which was a foregone conclusion. The Hawks were lucky to be there after getting past the Sixers. I was in Atlanta for a music festival in September, and I did what I heard one does when you go to music festivals. I found the most obscure NBA jerseys I had, and so I was walking around wearing my Bucks double aught OJ Mayo jersey.
Right, which, like, that should be, like... That doesn't mean you're a Bucks fan if you're wearing an OJ Mayo jersey. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, this is a guy who, for anyone who's unaware, the joke here is that he got signed by the Bucks and then immediately got permanently suspended from the league for drug use. Yes. In this OJ, there's two OJ Mayo eras for the Bucks. In this one, the double aught era, he didn't even play for them. So. That's the context there. So that's I'm walking around looking for going to get a late night train after the first day of the festival, and I was like, bump into these group of guys, and they go, man, you're awfully fucking bold to be wearing a Bucks jersey in Atlanta, man. And I literally had to, like, stop and think about why they even said that. It didn't make sense to me. And then I remembered that playoff series had happened, and I was just kind of like, I didn't even think to say that I wasn't a Bucks fan. I was just kind of like, oh, I don't think Bucks fans even think about the Hawks ever. That's not a thing, man. Like, y'all have that little like Knicks rivalry. But even then, if I was a Warriors team staffer, I could have gone, I could have answered a question and said, yes, someone said the F word to me around town.
In front of their kids.
Yes. And I'm sorry, that's just commonplace. We can, if you want to use it to make a comment on, like, how upsetting it is in society that's commonplace, that's one thing. That's life, man. We get, people say the F word in work meetings. if somebody flicks you off because you're wearing rival team gear during the NBA finals in their town, that comes with the territory level. You're that worried about it. Dress in, like, black or something instead of wearing
this Warriors. This is not, like, Sunday church.
Yeah. Like, there is not... You cannot convince me there's any crowd in any NBA arena that has not had some people chanting, fuck Draymond Green, since he entered the league.
Right.
There have probably been one or two Warriors fans who have chanted that during a bad game.
He opened his podcast this morning chanting that.
Yeah. So it's like...
Oh, yeah.
That's just regular fan stuff.
Yeah, it's I don't know why all these questions are coming from someone. Or actually, I want to go back really quick what you said about the Knicks. I mean, not the Knicks, the Bucks and the Hawks, because that actually reminded me that they actually played each other. In my head, the Hawks run last year the playoffs goes who did they play first? Who's first round? The Knicks. Okay.
Yeah.
Beat the Knicks, drove those fans absolutely insane that they're still mad.
Yeah.
Play the Sixers. Fun series. Win in seven as the Sixers just fall apart.
Yep.
And then, in my head, right? And then that's it. Nothing else happens.
Yeah, they're
just not in the playoffs anymore.
Like, what's incredible is they at least won game one, I think. that Bucks series was like either 5 or 6 games. It wasn't even a sweep.
Right.
And that's just totally memory hold, because it's like, I'm trying to imagine if I wore I do this all the time, so it doesn't need to be hypothetical. I live in Durham. I spend a lot of time in Raleigh. If I wear UNC gear around Durham and Raleigh, and somebody gets like drops a like a fuck you or whatever, you know, most of the time it's joking, but like, yeah, like I expect that. I expect a Duke fan or an NC State fan to feel that way. In this year's tournament, UNC ended the St. Peter's Cinderella run in the Elite Eight. If I bumped into a St. Peter's fan, for some reason, I don't really know how that would even happen, and they were like, you awful bold to wear that UNC
right,
in St. Peter's country, I would just be confused. I would be like, I assume once you get that far as a Cinderella, you're like hell.
Right. It should be just like mutual respect to each other, yeah. Right? Like
we were like an 8 seed and we lost the title game in Kansas, and I'm not mad about it. I'm like, I'm happy we made it there.
Yeah.
I like how are you upset about the Bucks, man? They were just way better than you. You shouldn't have beaten the Sixers.
Yeah, you should not be bitter about that.
Yeah.
Like you weren't supposed to win that.
So I love that happened. But like that's what I'm saying is, in a city with no connection and no actual rivalry, people will still drop like a don't wear that shit around here. And you're in the finals against like the most storied franchise NBA history, and in like one of the just nastier fan bases in the country. Like,
yeah,
you just get flicked off. Like, I mean, that doesn't do anything. You're fine.
Yeah, you can still go eat your lunch.
Yeah,
they're not. You can, yeah,
it's like the old like Tyler the Creator tweets. Like, just look away.
Yeah,
if he's just flicking you off, all you have to do is not look at him. And also to count, to say that you got flicked off 17 times is one of, like, that has the vibes of when Machine Gun Kelly got punched in the chest 65 times. It's like, who counted?
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing is that you have an exact count. Somebody did it, and you were like, that's number 3. Like, come on.
Yeah, this is more about you than it is about that. Like, if you just say, like, a ton of times. I got flipped off a lot.
Don't say an exact number.
If you tell me I got flipped off 17 times, I'm less likely to believe you than if you just said over 10 times.
Yeah. Drop a bunch, mm-hmm. and I got the exact same picture, and I don't think you're a giant nerd for it.
Right. At that point, you were just waiting to be flipped off. At that point, you're like, who's going to flick me off next?
you're the book, the
whole crowd.
You're like, sure would be a shame if anyone flipped me off for the 15th time.
You know why they're flipping off is because you got your back to the court.
Yeah,
and you're not watching the game that you're there to work at.
Yeah. The last note on this I wanted to leave, this is not an original point by me, it's been made by any others, but the irony is not lost that we're only like 6 years removed from Clay saying LeBron needs to just man up after LeBron got mad that Warriors fans called him a bitch, which frankly we can get into it, but that is, in my opinion, a good level, a bit more. It's still like, whatever, it's fans being fans, but it's like, that's a like a decent level more insulting than like someone just saying like, fuck you.
Yeah. Like, there's like,
you can call it a bitch
scale. Like, that scale where everyone's like, the F word's worse. But it's like, calling you a bitch is so much more personal.
Yes, it's different. Yeah, everyone, like, you grow up and they're like, yeah, the F word's like the worst word or something like that. But it's like, it's so, like you said, impersonal. Calling is getting like it being courtside and calling LeBron James a bitch to his face is pretty fucking rude.
It's pretty rude. Yeah.
And I'm not like crying for him. But that was the press conference where Clay was like, as a part of the game, man, like, what you gonna do? So I don't want to hear the classy bullshit. That said, I'm still rooting for the Warriors 100%. I do not want Boston to win these finals.
Yeah, I said it before we went live. I'll say it again. Adam, if you're listening, you're excluded from this because we like you. And you're a normal person. Like, you're a normal, healthy person. outside of Adam, I don't want joy to be experienced by these people.
Yeah, I got comprehensively in my head, I think I got 4 Celtics fans I'd be happy for if they pulled this off. And as much as I appreciate those guys, it does not outweigh the millions that I wish pain upon. Don't worry, if Celtics finish the job, I'm going to come on here and be like, wasn't my teams, I don't care, so like no one can like throw any jabs at me, just in case.
I'll remember this, but yeah.
Absolutely no, Celtics, Sixers, I just on a regular basis, I will be rooting against those teams. And when they play each other, I root for them, like, just the most painful result to happen to somebody.
You know what was rough is watching the Mavericks Phoenix series and being like, I don't want either of these teams to win.
I was in hell, honestly, once we got to the conference finals. I know this doesn't land well with you. I had a bit more fun with Phoenix because I am one of the people who likes Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. I enjoy Chris Paul, so I wanted him to get a title. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like my last team left. I had, even in the second round, I basically just had like the Bucks and the Suns. I knew the Hawks weren't going to do anything against the the Hawks Heat was first round. It was Heat Sixers. Right. I'd like both of them to lose. Celtics, no. So like, we got to the conference finals. It was Warriors, Mavericks, Celtics, Heat, and I was like, I mean, I default to the Warriors, but I'm not psyched about this as a Final Four.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Celtics, I mean, Heat is as unfun of an Eastern Conference Finals I could think of, and it went not in terms of basketball. They beat the shit out of each other. That was fine. But in terms of just absolutely nothing to root for.
Yeah, like the timeline was a mess.
Yeah.
Like I in terms of like just all the talk, it was bad. The series was fun, but it was. And I will say, I mean, in the Mavericks Sun series, I wanted the Mavericks to win just because I'm like, we can beat them easier. The Warriors will beat them. And they did. Sure. But like during that series, I'm like, I don't want the Mavericks organization to go.
Yeah,
I don't want them to find success because there's a lot of bad shit there. Other than Luka, we love Luka.
Luka's great. Like, and that's how it always is when you get the teams you don't like, though. Like, you can do in your head, it's easy to be like, it's better for me if like this one wins. But then when you actually have to watch and root for somebody, it's a whole different ball game. It's like, all the time too. It was the Packers Steelers Super Bowl, the one that Aaron Rodgers won. My whole family hates the Packers, but this was, especially the time frame, this was even more recent to it. Ben Roethlisberger's a rapist, and we weren't really hoping he would win. So for that game, we just wanted him to lose, so we rooted for the Packers. And then like the second it ended, you just feel like unclean. You're like, oh, gross. Like, what did I just do?
Right.
I see that with like the Suns Mavs. You're like, yes, and then you're like, oh god, do I believe that?
And then that game 7 happened where they just blew out the Suns.
Yeah, that's nice. It's like
not expected. I
don't really have to do any real rooting at that point. They're up by 50 and you're like, okay, I can just laugh.
Yeah. I was just like, oh well, they blew that.
It's still fascinating. That is I've talked, you know, age comes for us all. We've talked about this being one of the first seasons where you can really see the age wearing on LeBron. And I gotta assume that's what happened to Chris Paul in that series, was he realized he was old after the first couple games.
And then Booker. He just sucked. Booker sucked also.
He's good, but I still don't ever like trust him fully. Like,
no.
Like, I know that I'm aware he's like the best player on the Suns and he's like the tip of the spear or whatever, but like, I don't know, like if you told me like in a big game that Chris Paul wasn't going to be good, I would just assume the Suns were going to lose. I would never assume that Devin Booker was going to save it.
Yeah,
That's fair.
I did. I wanted to run through a surprising take. This happens every time the Warriors are in a bad spot. So I guess it shouldn't be a surprising take, but it's always funny to me. And I should note, this isn't coming from Warriors fans. This is coming largely from people who don't like the Warriors. There's bias there. I don't ever see a Warriors fan say this because I think they'd have to be ridiculous too. But there's a common theme usually when the Warriors are good, but they're struggling. So if we ignore like the 2 years where they sucked because Steph Curry was hurt and all those other things. But you take a good Warriors team and then they have a bad game. It usually means, in my opinion, one thing happened. More than anything else, it probably means Draymond had a bad game. Like in game three, if the Warriors kind of stink, I know they fought back and everything, but like if it doesn't go well, you can usually assume it means Draymond had a bad game. Steph Curry will go off in some losses. I feel like, to me, Draymond's always kind of been like, Steph Curry's by far the most important player on the team, but Draymond, like, Warriors kind of go as he goes, in my opinion. So true to form, game three is rough. Draymond sucked. He had like 2 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, something like that.
He had more fouls than he had any other stat.
Yeah. He fouled out. He fouled out. Just garbage. Just bad game. So this happens every time that this exact scenario happens. Draymond has a bad game and the Warriors struggle because of it, or in part because of it. Like I said, usually it's people who don't like the Warriors, but my timeline will be like, Warriors are losing because like Kerr doesn't have the guts to bench Draymond. So my timeline always goes like, oh, like they're so tied to this guy that they'd rather lose than Bishop, all these sorts of things. And I know they don't like the Warriors, so I'm sure some of it's just, if you don't like the Warriors, you definitely don't like Draymond. And so some of it's definitely just like, you know, for like laughs and jokes and stuff. But it's so funny to me because there is no scenario in which the Warriors succeed after benching Draymond. Like if Draymond plays bad,
the Warriors, I was going to say, like,
and it's that he needs to play better because benching him would be even worse. So they're like,
I was gonna say, on this team, there's no bigs other than him and Kevon Looney, who's starting. So they're already playing side by side. And if it's not Kevon, then it's going to be Otto Porter. But it's like, then who else are you putting in for him?
It's incredible. Yeah, the exact take that I saw today was Warriors lost because Kerr would rather play 4-on-5 versus the best defense in the league. 4-on-5 on offense versus the best defense in the league, referencing that Draymond provided nothing on offense, which has declined for him over the years. He's not who he was in, say, like 2015. Rather than bench that dude, referring to Draymond. And I'm like, similar to you, what's your pitch there? Look, if the Warriors get told up front Draymond's gonna suck the whole series, they just lose. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. He has to be good. There's no benching him, there's no replacement. He just has to be better. He doesn't need to hit a bunch of threes or something like that, but he has to play well. But like, this isn't like the Warriors aren't taking out the Celtics because they put Otto Porter in for Draymond.
They're
like, oh, thank God we got someone who can shoot. Al Horford packed Otto Porter shit last night. Draymond just has to be good. There's no scenario in which he gets benched. It's if he's bad, y'all lose. If he's good, you win. But you definitely lose if he's not playing.
I don't see the solution there.
They said he wasn't even good on defense last night. He has to be benched. I'm like, no, he just has to be good.
You
can't be benched. There's no one to replace him. It's like saying, I don't know. It's like Steph Curry is being bad. Don't bench him. He has to play. He just needs to be better. There's not a replacement.
You're not benching Clay.
Yeah,
it's just like they play until they're good. That's it. Like
they Clay have to play
was
better.
Slumping first finals. Two games. Yeah, Clay was slumping first two games. He picked up a little bit most last game, but like. They're bad until they're good, and that's just how it goes. And it's that's like normal basketball stuff.
You don't bench your starter in the finals. Jason Tatum sucked in game one. He stunk when they won. It's not like I mean, I know it's different after a win, but it's not like you're like, oh crap, do we need to bench Jason Tatum? No.
No one's gonna say that. No one's
you just count on him being good the next time around. People have bad games. Yeah. But yeah, people still pretend that I understand he's got a different resume than a lot of people, but people still pretend that Draymond's not a surefire Hall of Famer. And treat him like he's like a you can make an argument he's a role player, he's a superstar role player, but like they treat him like a guy who's like, oh yeah, you bench him if he's not doing well. And it's like, no, you ride or die with him. That's the way it is. Yeah. He's been. I mean,
this is a multi-time All-Star, multi-time DPOI.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's first ballot Hall of Famer. I know, I don't care if he averages 6 points a game. He's one of the best defenders of all time. He's one of the best passing bigs. Like, I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah, he's not a stat player. That's it. Like, yeah.
So that just cracks me up. I see that take. I had to get off because I see that take every time he has a bad game. He's got to be benched, man. And I was like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, no, there's no solution to that. Like, he just,
if he's going to be bad,
he'll play better the next game too because he's
yeah,
like yeah. He, I mean, he's stuck, but and it's like when Otto Porter's doing good, it's usually because like it's just all either Draymond's out there because then they put Otto at center, and then Otto can just run outside because Draymond's just going to be inside anyway.
Yeah, like
it doesn't make sense. I will say though, Otto Porter's pretty good.
I love Otto. Otto is actually surprisingly a surprisingly divisive topic amongst Wizards fans. Maybe it's not surprising for some folks, but to me, it's always kind of like not a guy you'd expect people to still be fighting over in Washington. But we do.
It's kind of strange.
But always loved his game. I mean, the injury sucked, but and Washington fans were hoping he'd be like a star, and you weren't going to get that. But like, it's fun to watch a guy play good team defense, never turn the ball over, and shoot the ball really well from three.
Pretty good. That range is pretty nice.
His injuries were tough, but I mean, he was the guy when his final times in Washington. He was well above average from every area of the court, and he literally never turned the ball over. He was, at the time, the guy I wanted taking the shot with the game on the line because he was shooting like 42, 43% from three.
Yeah, and extra points. He looks like a young Wilt Chamberlain.
Yep, and exactly like Lionel Richie.
Mm-hmm. He's a guy that I hope somehow the Warriors can keep.
Yeah.
I doubt it, because he'll probably get a little bit more money elsewhere, but
they might be skittish. At least the injury history might keep him near the Warriors. He's a great piece to have on a solid team like the Warriors. Like
he's been great all season.
He could have been better than this too. The injury stuff really sucked for him.
But
again, I will also remind people because it's easy to forget. Don't get fooled that he doesn't have a Twitter account. Low key, one of the absolute hardest partiers in the NBA.
All right.
So that might have also played a role with the injuries on why he never took that next leap. But Otto's here to ball out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Two things.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kings made a good hire, I think, which is surprising. Would you agree?
It's been ages. Refresh me. Who did they hire?
The Warriors assistant.
Oh, okay. Yes. Definitely.
I'm actually blanking on his name.
Mike Brown.
I forgot. Yeah, Mike Brown. Okay, yeah.
I'm good with Mike Brown. I thought they narrowed themselves into a pretty underwhelming list of finalists. He was definitely the best choice from that. But I also try to always remind myself to give extra grace to guys who were – I know a lot of people do the exact opposite, but I try to give extra grace to coaches who coach LeBron because I think they all end up with pretty unfairly bad reps, especially, I mean, like you consider like Ty Lue is one of the best coaches in the league now, and people thought he did nothing when he was LeBron's coach.
Yeah, definitely.
So I try to give a little extra grace to Mike Brown. He's probably a solid coach. I don't know if anyone has a chance in Sacramento, so I feel kind of bad for him in that way. Yeah, I think that's all, and I think he's a guy who deserves the shot.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish he got a better shot.
Yeah, because I'm like, this poor man took a cursed role. But of all the people in that group, I think he might be able to turn it around to an extent.
Yeah, he's at least like someone where I'm like, okay, he's like a professional and competent. He's not Mark Jackson.
Yeah, like he could at least maybe try to shift the culture a little bit better.
Yeah.
Players seem to love him, so.
Yeah, if they let him. It's the Kings. He'll create a good professional culture if they let him, which they probably won't.
Yeah, and right now, the roster kind of stinks.
Yeah, they did just randomly trade Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah, they have two shooting guards in like Justin Holiday and someone else that shouldn't be starting. So there's that. Okay, so let's go with that. And then we have the another surprising hire, the Lakers.
They did it. They actually brought themselves to hire somebody who is not a big name. I mean, like, diehard NBA fans know him, but, like, any casual is going to be like, who the hell is Darvin Ham?
Exactly. I was pretty surprised by that.
I'm fairly surprised. I think he's also getting a pretty tough job. Like, it sounds dumb when he gets, like, LeBron and stuff, but he's coming into a pretty messy scenario, so... Mm-hmm. I'm curious what they do this offseason. If they enter the season with LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook all still on the team, Russell Westbrook
sounds
obviously.
Like it sounds like they're going to.
Then yeah. That kind of sucks for dude, but we'll see. I am curious. I don't. These aren't like. It's going to be an odd dynamic having this guy come in who seems to very much be a good coach, seems like an excellent candidate for hire, but is not at all like the style of coach that, you know, like LeBron has handpicked for his teams over the decades.
Yeah, I guess. So the Lakers said they didn't want to trade Westbrook because they don't want to have to like add incentives to that package.
Yeah, give a bunch of us assets.
Yeah. He just hired. Who did he just pick out as an assistant? I forgot.
I saw that on check.
Was it Rashid?
Yes, it was Rashid.
Very nice.
They let Fizdale go. They let John Lucas go. And a guy, also another guy I haven't heard of. But yeah, Rashid came to the Lakers. I'm hyped for that.
Do you think the Kings and the Lakers are kind of kicking themselves right now? With the news that Quinn Snyder is likely stepping down?
So I'm curious. I can't remember. Did he say, like, he wanted to do the Lakers job?
It was, like, a rumor. I don't think it was ever official, but I think it was a rumor was that, like, he saw how they handled that firing. And it was like, I wouldn't want
to. I have to assume if the... He might just not have done the Kings regardless. They might never had a shot. I have to assume if the Lakers went ahead with this hire, they probably knew they weren't getting him because it was it seemed like a pretty much open secret that he was going to resign. So it still seems pretty wild, but the Lakers definitely knew he would resign. I feel like that was clear enough. So my guess is they had already done their research and then like, oh, he's not gonna come coach us because why would he? He's like, I'm leaving because it's gotten stale and dysfunctional in Utah. I want to go to the Lakers now.
I wonder though, because I mean, I'm sure he'll get another head coaching job.
Yeah, he's got to, but I'm curious what it'll be. It's not gonna be like,
but who's opening good. That yeah, that's what I'm like, someone else has to get fired first.
Yeah, and that by definition pretty much guarantees it's going to be a bad situation. Maybe he's waiting for a Doc to be done in Philly.
Oh, they said they're keeping him, right? Another year?
Yeah, but I mean, he can wait a year if he wants.
That's true. He has money. He can chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering.
Maybe he's really relatable and just really fucking hated hanging out with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, that could be. Apparently Donovan Mitchell's like shocked by all this or something. He's like feeling lost about it.
Look, Donovan just got his reason to ask out of Utah without being hated. He's like, I was gonna stay, but with the coach gone, damn, now I don't know.
You think the Knicks are gonna make any changes coaching wise? We've talked about this before, about like, do we think Tibbs is still gonna be there?
I don't understand why he's there.
We don't understand most of their decisions also.
Yeah, they went from being a fun surprise like literally a year ago to straight back to being depressing this year.
Yeah.
Somehow they already need what seems they it already seems that they need another hard reset.
That's what, yeah.
Like, I mean,
they're in basketball, like, purgatory.
Yeah, they live there. It's like, you can't even be like, oh, they're building towards something. It's like, RJ could be decent. Obi Toppin looks like a fun rotational piece, but mm-hmm. What else?
Yeah, Randall has not been...
Randall and his own fans have a feud.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't just blow everything up. Like,
yeah, I don't get it. Like, keep the young guys if you want. They're young enough that they can stick around for a while and you can try to take another swing with them. Like, you don't have to get rid of RJ, but I mean, you're not doing anything with Evan Fournier and Julius Randle.
And then I feel like the Knicks are turning into the place where, like, players go to die.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's
like the Kings, except the Knicks actually made playoffs.
Yeah, they have that. They very much are that, like, that one last job team now. I feel like you're an older player who,
yeah,
doesn't have as many options. You go to the Knicks.
Yep. I was thinking about also how they made that trade right before the deadline, I think, for someone really young from the Hawks.
Oh, yeah, Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish, who's like, he's not bad.
You fit him into
some rotations. I know he's not like consistent and shit, but like,
yeah.
But it was funny that the Knicks made that trade. They're like, hey, we got you a young guy. And then Tibbs is like, I don't want him. I'm not going to play him. And he never played him. He's like,
yeah.
Why would you get me this?
He's like, Cam's just in there like, great. I have to assume that was just because they were like, maybe Zion will come here in a couple years. We have his two best friends.
Right.
That's seems to be their whole plan. And I mean, hell, Zion doesn't play basketball. So, weird plan.
Yeah, it's not gonna. I think they should. Well, who, you know, is there anyone else you think should be fired?
Folks, he's taking another sip of the Mountain Dew.
I keep taking sips and I keep regretting it. But I don't have any water in here.
It's like, that's the thing, though. You know, it's like those drinks where it's the initial taste is fine, but the aftertaste is bad. Then you go back for another sip to get that good initial taste again. Yeah.
And you know what? Walloped
by the bad aftertaste.
Some sips are worse than others.
Ooh, that's fun. It's not evenly distributed.
It's not evenly distributed. Some sips are a little hotter.
I know this can't be true, but I'm imagining that it's just Mountain Dew with like Flaming Hot powder just like floating in there. So you're just getting some sips with more powder.
Dude, it probably is.
Yeah, to be fair.
I mean, it probably is.
If regular Mountain Dew eats through a coffee cup, what would this Mountain Dew eat through? I'm surprised it doesn't eat through the can.
This Mountain Dew would eat through a cockroach.
That's good. You could put it in a spray bottle, and
mm-hmm.
as long as you didn't care about the damage it did to your walls.
Yes. This would start fires, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's flammable.
It's probably flammable, yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's
I'm
like
drinking
those,
this, like... and I just wish it was regular. I just wish I had a regular Mountain Dew.
I'd do anything to not have the modifications on this one.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, have
the Hornets hired anybody for their job?
No, but they just interviewed, I think they just interviewed Kenny Atkinson.
Oh, that was interesting. Somebody else was talking to him too.
Who is he's currently Warriors assistant. I don't know anyone else they've interviewed though.
The Warriors are very much like Alabama in college football, where they're like the rehab center for coaches.
Oh, yeah.
you flame out as a coach, you go to the Warriors as an assistant coach for a few years to rebuild the rep. Like, that's they've fully taken that on. It's that is maybe the number one thing that Kerr took from Popovich.
Definitely.
Is turning his bench into like the ultimate coach rehab.
Do you think, I mean, Andre Iguodala's probably going to retire.
Yeah.
This summer. I mean, he can't play more than two games at a time without having to miss 2 weeks at a time. That, you know, that happens. He's probably going to become an assistant coach, right?
Yeah. I think either that or just full-time podcaster.
But I, you know, he said before, like, when he retires, he wants to work with the Warriors. That's really vague. You know, like, he could just be like, you know, Sean Livingston's doing, like, equipment or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, some type of management back there. But, like, I feel like he might as well just become an assistant. Because he's, like, that's why he's still there, pretty much, right? Like,
yeah, it's like...
He's been hurt. He's just coaching from the bench.
He's basically Haslam at this point.
Yeah.
With a little more activity.
A little more activity, maybe a little less weird.
Haslam's a weird dude, but he's perfect for the Heat.
It's true. Let's talk about how upset he was with Draymond saying that Warriors would see the Celtics in the finals.
What's funnier, the fact that he got really pissed when Draymond accurately predicted that the Celtics would eliminate the Heat, or that he keeps dropping quotes every 2 days saying he wishes he was still playing this season, as in wishes he was playing in the finals, given that he doesn't ever play.
Yeah, like he wouldn't have played in the finals.
Yeah, he's like, man, it burns me up that I'm not still playing. And it's like, what do you mean?
I don't think he played a minute in that semifinal series at all.
Yeah, like if you said we as a team, I'd get that. But you personally were never going to play in the finals.
Yeah.
Unless y'all were up by like a billion points in a closeout game and they're like, let's put Haslam in.
Yeah. I wonder too, people are speculating that like Draymond saying, oh, yeah, we're gonna see a Celtics, that like that was bait to get the Heat to try harder because it probably would have been an easier matchup.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure they would have appreciated it.
But let me, he was like, Draymond broke the code by saying that. And I'm thinking like, what is the code?
Yeah, that's
because you always hear people say like, you broke the code, and I'm like, I've never heard the code. I've never heard this before.
This is the lamest kind of invocation of the code I've ever heard. You can't predict another team will win. Like, right. I know you're not usually supposed to because you don't want to, like, literally, yeah, you don't do it because it's, like, bulletin board material or whatever, but, like, just prove him wrong.
Also, Draymond's been saying throughout the season that the Celtics are the best team in the East. Like, he was saying throughout the season, like, on his own podcast that he'll probably, like, they'll probably be in the finals against each other. So why is it suddenly breaking the code now that he's like, yeah, we're still going to see him?
Like, I'm sorry, it's not breaking the code if he's right. Like, it's extra funny that you come out after game six and you're like, yeah, do you regret saying that? And then you lose game seven.
Yeah. Like, and still didn't play.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't. In fact, even if I would have been wrong, I still wouldn't have regretted it.
Right, because then everyone can be like, he baited them successfully. He did it.
And also just because it doesn't mean anything.
That's also true.
You'd be like, do you regret it? And I'd be like, no, it hasn't affected me in any way.
But you played hard, though.
Yeah. Like, I'm assuming the Heat didn't need extra motivation to try to make the finals.
I wouldn't assume they would need that. They were literally about to fight each other, like, a month ago. I don't think they need motivation like that.
Yeah. He predicted he was right. It is, I will say, it is killing me. I love the jokes. They're just jokes. They're not any serious takes here. But all the jokes about the Warriors recording podcasts and hosting Twitter spaces directly after losing games in the finals are hysterical to me. It is so funny that that is just kind of where we're at this point.
Doing these spaces?
I think it was Iguodala who hosted a space.
I can see that.
Yeah, Draymond's done his podcasts, and Iguodala's done like one podcast and hosted a space, like, and it was like really soon after game three, and that is hysterical.
It's funny that people are mad. It's like, man, they're just going back to their hotel. What do you want them to do?
There's no serious take to be had here. I saw a Warriors fan was like, when he was talking to the people who were actually like serious about it, he was like, I mean, people do way worse. Partying, and he's like, MJ gambling and stuff like that. Like, yeah, fine, throw all that out. I'm not taking anything seriously. But it, like, the tweets, like the Warrior after game one, where they're like, the Warriors have two podcasts to the Celtics one win.
Yep.
That shit's great. It's just so funny. We're at a stage in time and sports where we've got players recording post-game podcasts after finals games.
Yeah. And old Isaiah Thomas.
Mm.
He said that Draymond's putting too much energy into the media and not like actual playing. And I'm like, man, he's recording a podcast from his hotel room. Like, if he wasn't recording that podcast, he'd probably just be sitting there on the phone or like watching TV. Like, what do you want him to, like, what's he supposed to do?
Ooh, that actually is a great point. That makes me want to go back to another thing that's been going on recently.
Okay.
I think it comes all this has been killing me. So a big deal right now is there's kind of like a little mini revolution between older and currently retired and recently retired NBA players and the NBA media. You've seen Stephen A. Smith getting dunked on by CJ McCollum and JJ Redick probably everywhere you go. If you pay any attention to him at all. And it's just basically like the older generation of current NBA players saying like, we're tired of y'all like disrespecting us and wishing for the old days all the time. I saw a point today that I largely agree with where it's not really some big deal. It's not really changing the analysis. It's just like, these guys just retired, so they view the current game pretty well and give them 15 years and they'll be just like the guys they're unhappy with. The older players they're unhappy with. I don't think there's any like big seismic shift happening. However, one of my favorite things I've seen was Stephen A made the take that Stephen Curry has improved the game of basketball and Michael Jordan made it worse. I didn't listen to the clip because I couldn't fathom what was possibly.
I didn't listen to it either because I was like, I don't want to know. I don't need to. I've seen enough. I've heard enough.
Yeah, it's kind of just fun to imagine what it might have been. And so Kevin Durant said, he's like, guys like Stephen A., Skip, and Shannon have changed the game for the worse. Players like Stephen, Jordan push the game forward. This killed me. So Stephen A. responds to him and goes, news for you, Kevin. We ain't going any damn place. For every Stephen A. Smith, Skip, and Shannon Sharp and others, there's thousands more coming down the pike. We're not going away. We multiply. Sorry. Which is similar language. The reason I thought of it is it's similar language as you hear from like Draymond and Richard Jefferson saying like, hey, we're not going away. This is the new era of NBA analysis. But the one that kills me about the Stephen A. one is he like on purpose makes it sound like they like anyone could do that job. Like it's the easiest job of all time. It's like we're a dozen. Like we don't there's thousands of us. We're like,
that's like saying, you know, you're right, Kevin, I'm not that special.
Yeah, he's like, no, we suck and anyone could do this job. People on Twitter could do this job, but like, which I don't even think is true. Like there's aspects of that job that are still really hard. The takes are stupid, but like, yeah, sure, I couldn't like perform on television like Stephen A. does, but it's like,
because he's like, Stephen's a character.
Yeah, exactly. Like they put on incredible performances. But he's like, there's thousands of we multiply. It's like, you're making it sound like you're cockroaches, man.
But this the only positive point that I could see going towards like anyone could do this is like Perkins is still up there.
Yeah, there are some jobs that anybody could do. Absolutely. And with that, let me just say, carry the hell on.
And then
the point to the players is just, yeah, I think it is kind of like, yeah, it feels like, ooh, this is a big movement. The former players are the recent crop of players are coming in and taking over. But I think that's probably always what it's like when the recent players come into the studio. It's probably what it was like when the, the players came into the studio at the end of the 90s and they're like, oh, they've got a fresh, really good take on the game because they just finished playing it. Give it 20 years. They won't have as fresh a take on the game anymore because they won't have played it in 20 years.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I mean, I wasn't watching like NBA on TNT. NBA on TNT, stumbled over that when like they got Shaq. When Shaq was new there, right? Like, because Shaq's one of those guys that's, I think Shaq is more like Stephen A. Smith and Skip and all that.
Yeah,
Shaq, where he just like hates. So he's always been like that, right? Like,
yeah, Shaq just hates people. He was like that when he was a player. He just can't take a joke, and he's always hated people.
Yeah, because he cannot, like, he's like incapable of praising any big man who got paid more than him, that got more awards than him, that did anything like got more recognition.
That's just he hated Dwight Howard when he was still playing. Like,
right?
Shaq really just was born a hater. But like, and I'm not saying that these guys are throwing shots specifically at Charles Barkley. They're throwing more shots at like Stephen A. Smith, something like that, which is fine. Dunk on him all you want.
I think a lot of them like Chuck better.
Yeah, and most people like Chuck. He's fun.
He's not as much. He's really not as much of a hater. I mean, yeah, he talks a lot of shit, but like,
yeah.
I mean, you saw this stuff with like he and Draymond were like low key feuding, maybe not even low key, but now they're friends. So
yeah, no, he's
not a true hater.
Exactly. And they're really mad at like the professional takes people. They're never going to be that mad at former players, but they spend it is just funny to be like, they're like, look how much better, like we analyze, like how much better, we appreciate today's game. And it's like, yeah, you play today's game. Like that might not necessarily apply in 20 years. Like, you better appreciate today's game. It'd be weird as shit if you came out and you said like this generation of players is shitty and included yourself in it. I don't think LeBron's ever going to be like the 2010s players sucked. That's him.
Right. There hasn't been like a good player like their team like that. That's been like, you know what? I think the Bulls would have beaten us.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Like you shouldn't say that.
I'd be curious if in like 20 years, if like CJ McCollum is still really, and he might just be a good dude. CJ seems like a cool guy.
He does.
But like that's a lot more interesting than like, do you respect the current crop of players? Because you are the current crop of players. You better respect the current crop of players.
Yeah, you better say, yeah, like these are your coworkers and your friends and like, and you. You're not gonna be like, yeah, we're kind of like, we kind of fell off.
Yeah, we're low key wimps. Like, no.
Yeah,
I did like the point that I think it was I saw it from Bomani Jones. I did like the point you said that some dudes from like the old days, the rough days, should shut the hell up because they were the ones getting beat up. Like, I don't want to hear you talking about how the NBA used to be tougher if you were on the receiving end.
That's a good point.
If you're Charles Oakley, that's one thing. You were beating people's asses, but if you were getting your ass beat, you probably shouldn't brag about it.
Yeah. That's why we like Bomani, right? Yeah. Like I mean, and also like these players, like, look, we analyze the game better. I don't think you can say you analyze the game better than Stephen A. Smith. He doesn't analyze game.
Yeah, you just perform.
He just talks shit, and that's fine. That's his whole role, right? Is to just be that character. But like, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but have you ever seen Stephen A. Smith actually do play-by-play, like, breakdown?
Yeah, no.
No.
And it's like, it's again, I love hearing from current players because that is an automatic insight. It's like,
yeah.
Or recent players. It's like when Tony Romo got hired. He could break down the entire NFL because he had been studying it as a player for years.
Like, exactly.
You know, but that goes away at some point. Like, Charles, and that's why, like, Charles Barkley sometimes doesn't know what the hell is going on. Because him being a genius of the game in the 90s doesn't mean as much at this point. So it's always nice to have that player voice, but it is kind of funny to me that it's like the current framing is like this is a permanent movement. And it's like, if it is,
it's like, eventually you won't want to go to work. Eventually you're gonna wake up and be like, I'm tired, man. like Charles Barkley, all he talks about on that show, and I love Chuck. He's what makes NBA on TNT so funny. But half the stuff he's saying, he's like, I can't believe we had to go to work today.
Yeah, this shit sucks.
right? Like, eventually, all these other guys are gonna wake up and be like that, and that's fine because, like, that's called retirement.
That's life.
Retire. Yeah. But like, right now, yeah, of course, you know, is it better because you still love it.
Yeah, I just highly doubt that we're gonna see, like, and some of this is me being a hater because I see way too many people being positive about JJ Redick.
That's fair.
But I highly doubt that in like 10 years, JJ Redick's gonna come into the studio and say, "I've been away from the game for too long. I don't understand it well enough. You need to bring in someone younger than me who just retired, who appreciates the game, to take my spot." Maybe he won't want to do it anymore, but I doubt he's going to be like, "I like this job, but it shouldn't be me because I've been retired for too long."
He's not going to say it like that.
No, like,
yeah,
come on. It's a fun idea when you're the young person taking over, but like, you're not going to ask for someone younger to come in and take your job because they appreciate the game more.
Exactly. If that happened, though, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be wild, because that would be cool, because then I would stop having to hear about him, and I would love that so much. You're my solemn word, I will never, ever jump on this, "Wow, JJ Redick is cool now" bandwagon. Absolutely not.
That's fair.
He can dunk on Stephen A. Smith, and I can laugh at it. That's fine. But like, I'm not joining the redemption arc, and I get extra. I already have the UNC Duke connection to make sure I don't do that. But I also, he's from my hometown, so I reserve the right to hate him all the way back, all the way back. We share roots. I get to hate this guy.
Okay. There was that it's a little different, but there was that last year, that sideline reporter for ESPN that was like leaked that she like didn't want the other reporter working her games. You know what I'm talking about?
Was that you're not talking when it was like Rachel Nichols being like racist towards that one?
That was fucked up. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot more of that than what I was saying, obviously. It was very, very problematic. But like, that's a whole other end of like, because she's like, "I don't want, like, oh, they're trying to replace me with someone younger." And it's like, they're trying to replace you with someone better.
Yeah, someone's better at your job. Sorry. she's a piece of work.
Where is she now? Probably just chilling.
I think she's still, I don't think she ever left ESPN, did she? She lost the finals gig, but I think she's still at the company.
Oh, I thought she was like out.
Let me see.
Yeah, I might be wrong. Also, how are we doing on time?
We're probably getting pretty close to it. This says, Wikipedia says was at ESPN, so I guess she's done now.
Okay, well, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, she left, sorry. She settled her like lawsuit with ESPN and left the network this year.
I have a feeling she's gonna have trouble getting picked up.
Yeah, maybe she doesn't care, depending on how big the settlement was.
Fit one last topic in. What, you got anything?
I wanted to, we talked a little bit about it before the pod, but I wanted to note that Draymond has a special place in his heart for absolutely ethering Celtics players, be they legends or just current rotation players. The shit he said to Grant Williams, Grant Williams might have the last laugh. Grant Williams might win the NBA finals this year. But that was mean. That was mean as shit. And he's just really good at that. Taking somebody you know idolized you and taking that and not only playing on that, but playing on the fact that their game is kind of modeled after yours. Like, their path to success in the league is being like a light version of you. And then just sitting them down during the game, just being like, "You will never be me. You wish you were me and you will never be me." Like, that's rude. That's very rude. And it's good to see that he's still got it. That's what I want from Draymond. I want him to say things that really cut to people's core. And it's good to see that, be it Paul Pierce and Grant Williams, he'll always be around to say some mean as shit stuff to a Celtic.
Oh yeah. You know, I feel like last few years, Draymond's become like guy with like, because it used to only just look mean, right? I feel like he's gotten a little more nice in some ways, but he hasn't lost the meanness, right? Like,
it was part of why this was so surprising for me. And like, part of it's, you know, you're in the finals, you're in the game, but like, I feel like, you know, Grant Williams is a dude who Draymond would show love to, like, in the off season.
No, like, as soon as the series is over, you know, he's going to be like,
Yeah, he's going to appreciate his game. He's going to be like, Draymond's, especially like you said, he's had a bit of a turn, not a ton. Yeah. He's still definitely a heel, but like, he's definitely the guy now who would like appreciate someone who looked up to him and was modeling their game after him. Which is why it's just extra rude to, in the middle of the game, hit him with the, you'll never, ever be.
Right.
Because like he did, some people don't want to be Draymond, but Grant Williams probably does. Mm-hmm. He like found the one guy that probably does on the Celtics. There's a number of guys in the league, but he found the guy who wants to be Draymond Green. Like, you specifically, fuck. If he said that to like somebody else, they would have been like, I don't care, fuck off. Like,
they'd be like, they'd be like, I shoot. Like,
yeah, I don't want to be you. Like, that's not who I am. You average 6 points a game. Like, he can still say, like, I'll be in the Hall of Fame and you won't. But, like, they don't want his game. But Grant Williams wants his game.
Yeah, I saw, like, in the Maverick series, he knocked Luka's ass down to the floor. I think he tripped him a little bit by accident. But, like, in the middle of game, like, picked him up and was like, we're playing. And I'm like, he would not have done that against a lot of other guys like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, like, and it's cool. I like that.
Yeah. Everybody mellows a bit with age, or maybe just becoming a podcaster mellows you out.
He also said after the game, he's like, I like Luka. Yeah. He's like, and I felt like I tripped him, so I wanted to help him up. It's only fair. And I'm like, he's not going to do that to any of the Celtics.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like
those fans said too many F words around kids for their players to get helped up.
That's also the thing I love is like Clay saying there were kids in the crowd. It's like, I know this doesn't really like change it from a human level, but again, looking at it from like a fan level, it's like mostly Celtics fans, kids, they weren't yelling the F bomb at the kids. I don't.
Yeah.
It was like, there's kids in every NBA crowd. I just didn't, like, that was such a weird point. It was like, what that seemed like to me was when, this is going to be a very Will reference, but when in the Vin Diesel feud with The Rock, when Vin Diesel made his public post calling for The Rock to end the feud, he said, like, my kids miss Uncle Dwayne. The Rock came back and he was like, hell no, Vin's a manipulator. We're never ending this. We're never going to be good again. He posted this publicly because he manipulates people, yada, yada, yada. But one thing he said was, and it was incredibly low of him to mention the kids. I can't believe he did that. That crossed the line. I'm like, it would have crossed the line if he mentioned your kids. He's allowed to mention his own kids. I'm sorry, that's not a line.
And, you know, maybe they do miss Uncle Wayne.
I mean, like,
maybe they did.
I get the point that, like, it's definitely like a lower blow in the sense of like, oh, I'm trying to get you by doing this. But like, you can't say cross the line by mentioning his own kids. That, those are his. And that's kind of where I'm at.
I would say you can even say that it's a little bit manipulative to say that. But also, you can mention your kids. You can say your kids said that.
But it's like, but that's not the line. No, the line is never you can't mention your own kids. That's not it. You can always mention your own kids if you want. And that's where I'm kind of at with this Clay. There are kids in the crowd at the Celtics thing. That's like,
you know, it's like, to be fair, you do not hear the crowd chanting fuck whatever, fuck this guy, like, that often at basketball games. Usually they didn't, but also, like, it's finals, it's Boston crowd. Like, I'm sure, like, man, go spend a day at a junior high.
Yeah,
listen,
I mean,
to what those kids are saying.
I've been in a crowd chant. Maybe I'll get canceled, but I've been in a crowd chanting fuck Grayson Allen at a basketball game. There were definitely kids there.
It's your responsibility to teach kids to say, say that, to say fuck Grayson Allen. Like, that's your responsibility. Like, that's a good thing.
I just, That really is just one where I just chalk it up to the game. I understand on a personal level, like, even if there's a parent in the crowd who's like, got you turn around, someone behind you, and like, please don't yell the F-bomb, my kid's right here. I even get that. I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They might not listen to you, but like, I 100% understand that. There are all sorts of things that I understand on that front. When I was in college and I noticed there were people nearby, I would try to cuss less mm-hmm. if I saw them, because it would be like, come on. But to just like, generally, like speaking as a player on the court, be like, there were probably kids in that crowd. Like, what?
But again, it's so awesome going from play being like, you know, like the energy don't affect me, but it was weird, you know, like real classy, cursing around kids, and Kerr being like, yeah, classy as always. I think going straight to Draymond's press conference, where the very first question, his answer for the very quick question is like, yeah, I played like shit. Well, his kid is right next to him. Like, it's like, we can throw all that away now.
Yeah, like, are we done with that? Or it's like, the one I also think of is, I don't even know if they still do it at the Chase Center, but I know at Oracle, they would play on the too short saying, what's my favorite word? And the whole crowd would yell back his favorite word. You got the whole crowd yelling bitch, like, and that was just like, I mean, that was prompted by the arena, like, that was part of the game. So it was,
I mean, like, yeah, a little different, but like the whole like Grizzlies team, like the whole crowd was dancing to whoop that trick. So
yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, you know, I know you don't actually believe this.
Yeah, I honestly, it would be better and less weird if like Clay and Kerr were just like, yeah, these people are weird.
Yeah, yeah,
because that would be 100% fair.
I'm not gonna get angry at any slander against Boston fans. It was like, just like, don't ever come back with they weren't classy enough after a loss.
Yeah, or just like they curse too much. Maybe they did curse too much, but like, there's other things you can, like, you know, like.
Yeah.
I mean, I've the bar is so, we like, let's we can go we could go all the way back to Malice at the Palace.
Yeah.
Like, I when you look at that and you're like, okay, the fans are cursing. Okay, good. At least they're not running on court. okay, last thing, you did say you saw a weird trade take about Gobert.
I did.
We'll end with that.
I have fun. I just see fun tidbits from Bulls fans from time to time. It was a Bulls fans, would you do this trade? It was for, they were receiving Rudy Gobert. And the takes I say were like, ugh, yes, I guess. Like, I guess you make that trade. But I was dying because I was like, I understand nobody likes Gobert and his value is lower than it like was before. But you don't have to worry about making that trade because the Jazz aren't going to do it. Their proposed trade was Vooch and Pat Williams, straight up.
That's it?
That was it.
No. Oh, no. I mean, we all have something against Gobert, but like, he's worth more than that.
Yeah, come on, man. And they're like, I guess I would do the trade. What the hell are you talking about?
Okay, do it then. Yeah, do it then. Oh, you can't.
Yeah.
This is why this is why you don't make the trades.
Somebody comes up to me and they're like, Will, if some gun to your head, if you had to, would you have the Wizards trade Kyle Kuzma? And Corey Kispert for Rudy Gobert. I'm like, I mean, yeah. I don't know what the pool is for the other team, but it's like, that's fine.
is there any trade you can think of where the GM might have been like, I guess. Sure, whatever, sure, I'll take it. Like, can you think of any trades where that would have happened for a GM?
Yeah, like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I feel like here's first one that comes to mind, close second think of, the Nets side of the Simmons Harden trade.
Okay.
Where they had no plans on trading Harden, but then one, he sucked, and two, he forced his way out. And they're like, okay, whatever. Yeah. We'll take Simmons, Curry, and a couple picks.
Yeah. You know, it's still not that bad of a trade.
No, yeah, it worked out fine. And it's only in the scenario, the only way you would ever get that is with the player forcing themselves out. And that's not really what's happening in Utah. I don't... I've talked before about how I don't really understand what Gobert's, like, market would be. Whatever it is, I promise he's not going for Nikola Vucevic and Pat Williams.
No. I saw some, like... This is like before the playoffs here, right when the playoffs were starting, and there was like talk of it was like some NBA executive hinted that the Warriors could be a suitor to trade for Gobert. And I'm thinking, like, who around the league is saying, like, I think this could happen? Well, when Warriors players like openly talk shit about him.
Right.
Like, they openly like talk about, like, oh yeah, we just expose them and we're good. Like, why would the Warriors why would they trade for him?
It's like saying the Mavs might go for him. It's like, probably not after Jason Kidd defeated him and then in the next round said, wow, that dude fucking sucked.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's not the Bears, not the Jazz. It's like, I don't know who is buying this.
Once you get to a source in the league mentioned it, like, they could possibly do it, I always assume they, like, you're like at the bar with somebody, one of your sources, and you're just like just some guy who works in the league, and they're like, man, where could Gobert go? And he just starts listing teams, like, well, I guess it'd be crazy if the Warriors did it, but I don't see that happening. And then
imagine Bob Myers sitting up like Trey, Steph, and Clay and being like, hey, what do you think if we got him? And then they'd be like, yeah, go for it.
And also, like, we probably have to trade one of you to do it.
Yeah.
Clay, you're out, so we can get Rudy Gobert.
Because they probably trade, like, Wiseman.
I get, but, I mean, he makes, like, $50 million.
So they'd have to trade... You know, at this point, I would rather keep Wiggins than have Gobert.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think they make the same amount of money, just about.
No, yeah, it's like his market is fascinating to me, but whoever, if he gets traded, it is not going to be for Vooch and Pat Williams.
You can make your pick now, and you can't say Bulls or Warriors. And then I'll try to pick a different team. We'll see who's closest. Okay. Somehow we'll figure out.
We're saying he, in the scenario, he does get traded. Like, I can't pick you.
If he gets traded, okay. Yeah.
This is going to be really bad for the vibes. So I'm sorry, but Hawks.
Ooh. Probably for like John Collins.
Yeah, or maybe like friends. Clint Capella's in there or something like that.
I don't want that to happen.
Like, let's find a way to make our defense not shitty.
Oh, boy. I mean, yeah, but here's the thing. I want to like the Hawks.
Yeah, no, I said it was bad for vibes.
Yeah, it's bad for the vibes. It's totally like...
it's really bad for the vibes, but it's one of the...
If you got Trey, I'd be jumping off that ship for sure.
Yeah, no. Plus him and Trey Young would be... If he doesn't like how Donovan Mitchell plays defense, oh, boy.
Okay, I'm gonna say Ooh. This was I had not thought of this before. And this is also bad for the vibes. But this team, I feel like, is gonna be like desperate for another star.
Mm-hmm.
Trailblazers.
I was certain you were gonna say Portland. I knew it.
I was just thinking, I was like, they gotta be desperate for another star, right? Like,
yeah, they're looking for anything, and that's where I'm like, I feel like,
do they have anything to give for him though? Like, picks? They have to be picks involved. They don't have, like, because they're not gonna trade Dame.
No, yeah, that'd be pointless. Ugh, that would be.
They already traded CJ.
What did they even get back for CJ? It wasn't good, was it?
I need to look this up really quick.
All I know is they made the CJ trade and didn't get much back. And then they made a different trade where they were like dumping salary and they literally like gave up more than they received. It was like with the Clippers or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the Roko Blazers trade.
So in that trade, they traded away CJ, Larry Nance Jr., and Tony Snell. In return, they received Josh Hart, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who was then traded to the Jazz, Thomas Satoransky, who was later traded to the Spurs. And then they got Dee Lozada and draft compensation.
Then this is their other one they went for. They traded Norman Powell and Robert Covington to the Clippers for Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, Keon Johnson, and a 2025 second round pick. They traded the two best players in that trade for three worst players and a 2025 second round pick.
You know, the Bledsoe trade was really interesting to me because I was like, to me, I was like, are they setting up a backup if they do trade Dame over summer?
That's the only way
I can make sense of that. Because I'm like, you don't really need him. Like, because I'm assuming you're just going to let yourself fail to get a good draft pick. So I'm like, why? What is that about?
That was weird. Because, yeah, I assumed it was for tanking purposes, too. But then they didn't, like, get any picks. So it's like, what's the tanking gun? They traded two solid rotational players for bait, maybe one rotational player.
Yeah, like, the only thing I can make sense of, like, is they're clearing everything out, like, financially and prepping to also trade Dame, which they're not going to do. No. So it doesn't make sense. Maybe they should just do it. Just blow it up. But like, also, that CJ trade was great for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent it can, it saved their season.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Blazers on that Gobert trade. It's stupid, but that's why it makes sense.
Yeah, you got to go for something desperate. Dark horse. I think we can both share this as our dark horse. Somehow he ends up on the King.
I would hate that so much.
There's just a world where this ends up with like Sabonis and off night on the Jazz.
Imagine they just flip Sabonis already. That'd be
incredible. I mean, he should thank them if they do. Not that I really want to play in Utah, but
that means they really meant it was a win now trade. They're like, and we didn't, so he's gone.
Yeah. Now we need to replace him with the opposite player, Rudy Gobert.
I mean, I hope over summer, I hope the Kings do some weird shit trade wise over summer, because like,
I think you can.
They don't have like enough to do anything right now. Barnes is whatever. Could be better. Fox, I don't know, they need to do more shakeup. Also, you have two shooting guards that on any other team would not really break the rotation.
Yeah.
And that's all you have. So I think something needs to be done. Well, should we call it?
I guess so. I wanted to give us cheers for our Celtics takes from the last pod. Those aged well, and I wanted to give us jeers for our Suns takes. They did not age well.
What? Remind me what those were.
Largely from me, some from Adam. You might be less guilty, but that those were the finals favorites. Those were our favorites to take home the titles. Celtics one was a good pick, and the Suns one was not.
Good pick. That's true. But I do think this is a more fun matchup than Suns Celtics would be.
Yeah, it's a good time. We're in that fun era where there is more parity in the league right now. These are two excellent teams, but they're not like super teams by any means.
This is the 75th anniversary of the league, and you have two of the original teams.
Yeah.
Like, against you. It's only right.
And I've seen the point also made. It's pretty cool. You know, we got a real up-and-coming team versus the team that's largely defined the past decade.
Exactly. Yeah, that I love that too. Because I was
Go ahead.
The Celtics will be good for a while. They're young.
This is very much can the new guys knock the guys who have defined the league off their block and seize the throne early, which is always a fun trope. I mean, it's it's fun in fighting. It's fun in sports. It's always good. Are they? We know they're here to stay, but are they here for now? It's like. Because anything can happen. We thought the 2012 Oklahoma City Thunder, when they lost the finals, would be right back.
That's true.
And they never made it.
Yeah.
So I think Celtics are here to stay, but you got to win.
I think they're here to stay as well. And
it's fun that they got to be back. The wily old champs.
Mm-hmm. If only their fans didn't curse so much.
It will be bad when the NBA gives them a 2-game penalty in the finals for the F words. But if they're ready to be champs, they'll overcome that and they'll win the series 4-3.
That's, you know, and if not, if they lose because of that, then they can at least, the Boston fans can at least take pleasure in calling the Warriors win, put an asterisk on it.
Yeah.
Calling it a sham. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. That is. I am just looking for any reason to call this and the next 10 titles fake for some reason.
And, you know, every single one has been.
This one, if the Celtics win, is fake because Steph was limping at the end of game 3.
Okay, true. Yeah.
And if the Warriors win, it's fake because they didn't have to play the Suns.
Okay, true.
Sorry.
That's how it is. That's, you know, it's how it goes. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back soon. Will it be before or after the finals are done? That's really up to the teams.
Yeah. Don't look at us. That. We can't control that.
We don't decide that. Just remember that we love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.